Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless, gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another new episode of Podcast on Fifth Ave. Jordan here with Taylor, as always. Not a whole lot going on. We were just talking before we started recording about how bleak the whole month of August is. It's really quiet, and it's kind of it's a downer. It's a bit of a downer. However, the Penguins and Wilkes-Barre as well, Pittsburgh and the Wilkes-Barre affiliate, they all made some hires within the past couple days. The Penguins brought on a player development coach and a couple scouts, and Wilkes-Barre hired a new assistant coach. Taylor, what can you tell us about these new hires?
Yeah, so starting with the hires made by Pittsburgh for their front office. The biggest one here is they hired a player development coach, Chris Butler. He's a former NHL defenseman. As a defenseman, he's going to obviously focus more on the defense prospects. He's going to work closely with Trevor Daly, who does a lot of that too. Trevor Daly, his title is hockey operations advisor, but I mean, he does a lot of player development stuff, more so with the defense prospects, obviously, as a defenseman. And they're both going to report to, he's going to report to Tom Kostopoulos, who was recently, promoted to director of player development. This does just kind of fill a void, because when the previous director of player development, Scott Young, left for a higher position with Vancouver, Tom Kostopoulos was promoted from player development coach to director of player development. So, I mean, there's just kind of a void at player development coach. Chris Butler, he had an 11-year professional career. And that includes 407 NHL games. Sabres, Flames, and Blues. His last season was with the Blues AHL affiliate in San Antonio. He played 13 regular season games with the Blues that year. That was 18-19. So then he was on the taxi squad when they won the Stanley Cup. He didn't play in the playoffs, but a guy that's been around for a long time. Good guy to have, I think.
Sounds like not
a whole lot of playoff experience like himself, but I don't know. He was around for the Blues Cup. Just, good guy to have. Insight. Mm-hmm. A lot of times those guys, too, the player development coaches will fill in behind the bench in Wilkes-Barre, kind of like as an assistant coach, but more so just their feedback rather than like actual system things and, stuff like that. Good hire. And then the other two scouts. So Greg Patterin as a pro scout, and then Garrett Peters as a global crossover scout. So pro scout, that means they scout professional hockey as opposed to draft eligible prospects. So that could be other NHL teams, just for, pre-scouting for when you play them, but then also for potential trades. And then so like AHL hockey too, for potential, trades or pickup stuff like that. He's going to be based in California. He recently retired this offseason. He had a 10-year professional career as a defenseman, 290 NHL games with the Canadian Stars, Wild, Avalanche, Sharks, Ducks. Last season, he was split between the Ducks and their AHL affiliate in San Diego. He was San Diego Gulls, their captain. This is his first, obviously, job in a front office because he just retired. And then Garrett Peters, he's the global crossover scout. So he's going to scout amateur players in North America and Europe. So he can travel back and forth. So that is like the draft eligible kinds of players. He does have experience. He's coming. He spent the last 5 years as an amateur scout for the Blues. And he was a scout for the Halifax Mooseheads and the QMJHL for a couple seasons before then. Didn't really have much of a career himself, just a couple of years in the minors, like ECHL, SBHL, FA, like independent leagues. Mm-hmm. So, not a name you would recognize as a player, but the Penguins have made a couple of additions to the front office this season. Much turnover. Like, they haven't fired anyone or parted ways. People just haven't quit. The people that they have lost are like Scott Young, who leaves for just a higher position with, you know, Vancouver. No one's like, because I've gotten questions in like my live queues about like the turnover and like Fenway. Like, no one's left because of like Fenway. They've mm-hmm. either gotten promotions, or Fenway has just made a bunch of new additions, like nothing. So these are just new people.
It's not bad.
It's new positions. And then the other hire, so not by Pitts, this is a Wilkes-Barre hire, an assistant coach. Again, this isn't replacing anyone, because for the past 2 years, they've only had one assistant coach. It's just been J.D. Forrest, the head coach, and then Kevin Porter, the assistant coach. Kevin Porter played for the Penguins a couple years ago, fourth line guy. People might remember. I can't imagine many people do, but
I don't.
Yeah, I mean, it was like 2016. You know, he was around.
Yeah.
Years, but so because they only had one assistant coach before, JD would, because you know normally you split the duties between assistant coaches for his defense, power play, penalty kill. So, what they were doing was like Kevin Porter would do like fours and PK, but JD, the head coach, he would be a head coach, but he would also be like the defense power play guy. So bringing on the hire, Sheldon Brookbank, who former NHL defenseman, he had a 16-year playing career. He just he got fired last season as an assistant coach with the Blackhawks. So he's coming from the NHL. The Blackhawks' whole coaching staff got fired November, along with, you know, Colleton. So he's been out of a job since then, but he's been in he was in Chicago for parts of the last like four seasons. So as if they're gonna add an assistant coach, it's a good guy to have, a guy that's coming down from the NHL. A former NHL defenseman, so he is going to handle the defense. Kevin Porter is going to, you know, work with the forwards. Presumably, he's going to handle the power play, too, because Kevin Porter was – Wilkes-Barre's penalty kill has been really good under Kevin Porter. So, Sheldon Brookbank, his brother played for Wilkes-Barre before. So this is the first time since 2019-20 that Wilkes-Barre's had more than one assistant coach. But like I said – guys like Tom Kostopoulos would come down and work in his assistant coach for a couple of games. But, cool to see these moves made. Seems like increased focus on development, especially when it comes to defense prospects. They had, you know, a defenseman like Brookbank is as a coach, and then a player development coach in Butler. Just seems that they're really realizing that they're going to have to start developing some defensemen, because I mean right now, if you look at the defense prospects they have, like who could be called up next, it's Pio Joseph as far as prospects go. I mean, they have like Taylor Fadun, an older guy, and then Xavier Ouellette, who they just signed. Those two and Joseph are really the only two I'd be looking at as the only three I'd be looking up as call-ups right now, and of those three, Joseph is the only young guy. So it's nice to see them putting this focus into developing defensemen and defense prospects.
Yeah, that sounds like they're kind of looking ahead. Yeah. And that's something that they're going to need to be doing for sure. It's always exciting when new hires are made, even if it is something seemingly small, taking incremental steps to get where they need to be in the future, because the future is a lot closer than think any of us want it to be. But that's exciting. Good for those new hires. Good for the organization. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
We're back. There isn't much happening with the Penguins. There also isn't a ton happening league-wide either, except that the Rangers announced this week that Jacob Trouba will be their next captain, which I don't personally understand. And he's trending on Twitter again, and a lot of people really got creative in terms of memes and content that they're putting out there. I had quite a few good laughs. Just scrolling through and seeing what was out there, because most people outside of New York are like, what?
I think people inside of New York are like, him?
Yeah.
So it was Kevin Weeks that broke that, like the night before the Rangers actually announced it. You know, he just tweeted, like, hearing that the Rangers are going to name Jacob Trouba the next captain. And my first reaction when I saw that was like, wait, wasn't like Chris Kreider captain? No. And then I was like, oh, no, he's not. Like, the Rangers haven't had a captain since 2018. Mm-hmm. Like, they've gone a while without a captain. And I remember It was last summer that they announced that they were gonna have five alternates, because I remember there were a bunch of memes like they had five alternate captains. But I mean, Trouba was one of them. But even knowing that, it just feels like, you know, there's a lot of things you could say about Trouba, and I mean how dirty he was this past season, especially in the playoffs. But it also just seems like there are better options. Chris Kreider. Like, again, I thought Chris Kreider was captain, but no, they had five alternates. I mean, Kreider, Mika Zibanejad.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think if I, you know, I read people saying too that, like, when the Rangers have had captains, they haven't stuck around very long. Like, there's a history of, like, they're gone within the first 3 years of them being captain. But, yeah, it seems I know Trouba did an interview and he said he doesn't want anything to change or like their current roles, like, it's, you know, Kreider and those guys as the alternates.
Sure.
He wants them to keep having the same voice they did, but just interesting decision.
Yeah, who decides that?
So Gerard Gallant, he spoke to he said they made the decision as management, as an organization, and the players. So it seems like, you know, the players did have input here. Like, I mean, we're not in the locker room, so we don't know what kind of a leader Jacob Trouba is behind the scenes. So maybe, you know, he was more of a leader than we're giving him credit for. But it's just,
possible. But I feel like what you see on the ice is typically pretty indicative of the kind of personality that people have. Not always, but when you're consistently playing the style of dirty hockey that he was playing, like, it's not even just like he was heavy hitting or like
elbowing.
He was like going after it with his elbow in every round that the Rangers were in, multiple times, like different games. Like, that's a very conscious decision, and that's the kind of thing that just, I think, makes people wonder, is he really that good of a leader and that great of an example? And after that happened, it felt like the entire tone of the Rangers team just sort of shifted towards that style of play. So it's hard to imagine with the small sample size that we've seen that that isn't what they're going to look like come hockey season. Like, it just, and yeah, we don't know because we're not in the locker room and we're not even we don't cover the Rangers. We cover the Penguins, but it just seems like,
Yeah, I mean, well, that's like you're talking like the memes. The good memes I was seeing were from Rangers fans, not like,
yeah,
you know, fans of, you know, the Lightning or the Hurricanes or the Penguins who, you know,
yeah,
Trouba had dirty hits against their players, but
yeah,
no, it was like Rangers fans posting like the one we were just talking about, or is like, you know, the first game under, you know, Captain Jacob Trouba next season, and it's like a video from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where it's like a fist fight. Like that's just something like Rangers fans are posting about Jacob Trouba. But yeah, I mean, we talked about it a bunch during the playoffs. Yeah, that hit the elbow on Crosby, the follow through. It's like he's mastered. You know, it's not maybe the principal point of contact with the head, but he's getting like just enough to make it, you know, dangerous and hurt people. He hurt Crosby.
Yeah.
That hit against, I think it was Domi when they played the Hurricanes, where Domi was fine, but it was kind of the same thing. And then remember, he had two hits like that during the regular season, like back to back. I think it was like McKinnon and Kyra. And they all.
And there was one where he missed. There was one in the postseason where he missed, like completely missed contact.
Yeah, the Lightning, because I remember I tweeted like, oh, that's so uncharacteristic, like ... Norman was able to make that elbow connect, and I had like
Rangers. Yeah. Was he going after Kucherov? Who was that?
Yeah, because it was against the Lightning, and I had a bunch of like Rangers fans in my mentions on Twitter for weeks defending Jacob Trouba. Oh, but and there was, I can't remember which game it was, but he took like back-to-back penalties. Was it when they got knocked out, when he took back-to-back penalties and the Lightning scored on both of the ensuing power plays? And I think that it cost him the game. That might have been the elimination game, but
yeah,
I don't know. If
crazy
Rangers win the Cup, Gary Bettman's gonna be passing it off to Jacob Trouba.
Nobody had that on their bingo card for the NHL season. That's so wild. But I don't know. Guess we'll see what happens. I completely forgot personally that they were playing with five alternate captains. Like, I guess I don't think about the Rangers that much, so that's not surprising. But yeah, crazy. He's a new captain. Good yippee for him. I don't know. Everything is just so slow right now that we're talking about Jacob Trouba. That's just where we are in the year. Yeah. Oh, God. Let's take one more break and we'll be right back. And we're back. We have been waiting to talk about this one for a little bit, but sounds like we have a pretty good idea of what the Winter Classic jerseys are going to look like at this point in time. And that it's always a big deal because for the Winter Classic Stadium Series, teams obviously don't wear their standard jerseys. They break out something new, some kind of cool design, something that pays homage to a different point in franchise history, something in the city. Teams get creative, and it's always a lot of fun to see what they bust out. Sometimes they're really terrible, and sometimes they're really cool. But Taylor, what do you know about what we can expect for the Winter Classic jerseys for the Pens this year?
Yeah, so I know a lot of people want to see the Robo Pigeon. I see that on Twitter, I think, every day now. People saying, like, maybe the Winter Classic jerseys look like this. It's not going to have the pigeon, I can tell you that. You're either going to love that or you're going to hate that. So I talked to Kevin Acklin, the president of business operations, and I was trying to get out of him, you know, what the Winter Classic jerseys are going to be. And he told me it's going to be pre-Penguins. So no baby blue or any of the old logos. It's before the Penguins. So something obviously a Pittsburgh team that existed before 1967. So you look at what the examples are. there's like the St. Pat's. I think they were only around for like 1 year. They were like green and white. There's like the Hornets who are red and white. And there's a couple of others who may be around for like a year or two. The one that can only be is the Pittsburgh Pirates, who the Pirates, I mean, not the baseball team, the hockey team. It was Pittsburgh NHL team. And there are a couple of reasons why. I mean, it just makes too much sense. And first of all, so the only other team, major like team like that, though, that is around just as long or longer, was the Hornets, who, again, red and white. And the Penguins don't own the rights to anything Hornets, but they do own it for the Pirates. So, and then you look at the significance of the Pirates. So the Pirates, they're around, they started playing in 1925. Their first game in franchise history was against Boston, in Boston. The Summer Classic is in Boston. The Pirates, the first game, they beat the Bruins 2-1. They were only around, I believe it was 5 years. So not around very long, but I think the reason why they're so relevant, significant to the Penguins is that the Pittsburgh Pirates are one of the reasons the Penguins can wear black and gold today. So the Penguins wore blue jerseys up until 1979-80. So around that time, what's happening? The Steelers won the Super Bowl, Pirates won a World Series. Penguins are wearing blue. The other teams wear black and gold. So the Penguins are like, we want to capitalize on that. And, you know, unity, we want to switch to black and gold and be like the other teams. So they announced that they're going to do this. And the Bruins GM, Harry Sinden, objected, saying that that color scheme, black and gold, belonged to the Bruins of the NHL. The quote, this is what he told the Boston Globe in 1980. He said, "There's no way we're giving permission for them to adopt our colors. Those colors are part of our tradition and heritage. We're going to fight it if Pittsburgh tries to do it." I sent it.
Oh my God, that's blasphemous.
I sent a telegram to our league president telling him, "We feel we have exclusive rights to those colors in our league. We are not going to give the Penguins permission to change." So the Penguins were like, "Hold up. Exclusive rights to that in the NHL?" Well, back in 1925, the Pirates joined the NHL wearing black and gold, and they're like, "What were you wearing in 1925? Brown and gold." The Bruins didn't change to black and gold until 1934. So,
got him.
The Pittsburgh had black and gold first in the NHL, so that's what they countered with when Harry Sinden was like, "Well, those are our colors in the NHL." The Penguins were like, "Actually, Pittsburgh had it first." So then that's why the Penguins were then able to change to black and gold, even though
they
were happy about it because they had it first and they weren't even the Bruins colors. So, I mean, I'm like 99% sure that they're going to be wearing the Pirates jerseys, or at least Pirates inspired jerseys. And I think it would just be such a cool tribute to, again, the team that it's the reason why they can wear black and gold now. And then also, I mean, the Pirates, they played their first ever game in Boston. It'd just be really cool.
That would be awesome. Here's hoping that that happens. The Winter Classic is,
if you're watching it on YouTube.
Oh, that's so sick. Yeah.
On YouTube, I don't know.
Is that the Pittsburgh crest on on the arm?
Yeah, so they were borrowed from so the crest on the arms, they were taken off of local Pittsburgh police jackets that no one was using. They borrowed the patches from those and put them on the sleeves the hockey jerseys.
Very cool.
Yeah, I got people that are only listening, not watching. It's like a mustardy yellow gold base with the crest on either arm. It's just two stripes. It says Pirates cursive across the front and a big P. I'm assuming if they wear these, it would be cool if they copied it exactly, but it just made it say Penguins. But very cool.
Very cool indeed. Looking forward to the unveiling of that. Do we know when they're officially going to announce what the jerseys are?
Not yet. And see, they are still going to be doing the reverse retro concept. That's coming back. We're probably going to still see Reverse Retro, separate from this. So this is the Winter Classic.
Yeah.
So we're probably waiting on two different jerseys.
Two jersey drops.
Some of them, the Reverse Retros around the league have leaked. Like the Islanders are probably bringing back the Fishermen. The Fishermen had like teal. What I saw that leaked, it's like their colors. It's like orange and navy. I don't know. So maybe this is when we see the pigeon, because I did, you know, when Mario was apparently not really a fan of it. Mario's not majority owner now. I talked to Kevin when I was talking to Kevin Ackland, he did, I did ask specifically, like, are we ever going to see the Robo Pigeon, you know, come back, you know, trying to get, like, how does Fenway feel about it? And he did tell me never say never. Ackland himself, you know, he's a Pittsburgher. He, you know, grew up when they're, you know, using that logo. That's, I think he was like in like high school, like college around that time. He said he had like a poster in his bedroom of that logo, but he did acknowledge that like he knows it's a very controversial logo among Penguins fans. You either love it or you hate it. I'm obviously the associations with changing to it in 93 after they won two cups and then losing. There are a lot of bad memories associated with that logo. He knows that there is like a nostalgia for it. He did tell me one of his wife's friends has it like tattooed on her hand.
God.
Icon. The organization, they know that there are people that really love it, but there are definitely people that don't like it. But it would be cool if that came back for the, so it's not going to be the Winter Classic, if that were the Reverse Retro.
That would be so sick. Pretty cool. All right, everybody, get your hopes up. This is the official announcement. We may be heartbroken again, so get ready. But never say never. So we have that to look forward to, the Reverse Retro drop. We have the Winter Classic jersey. That's exciting. The Winter Classic itself is on January 2nd in Boston at Fenway. Going to be a whole lot of fun to watch that. But everybody, thank you for listening. As always, we're not going to be recording next week because Taylor is off next week. So hopefully she's doing something very relaxing.
I'm closing on a house on Friday. So I will be.
There you go. So not relaxing. No,
I will be moving into a house.
Yeah. But she will not be working. Yeah. So they're in this way. She's going to be working at something else. But we'll see you again next week, following week. Make sure you're subscribed wherever it is you listen to podcasts so that you don't miss anything. We drop typically new episodes every Thursday. So we will see you in 2 weeks for another episode of Podcast on Fifth Ave.